Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So hypocrisy is when you tear down someone and you're doing the exact same thing. Or you start talking about someone because they told a lie and you really come down on them, but you yourself, with your words, are gossiping about someone. That's hypocrisy.
We look at the scribes and Pharisees and we see how they lived one way yet proclaimed to be another. And we say no wonder Jesus dished out his worst criticism for them. They were so hypocritical. Today, a warning to be so careful that we do not act like Pharisees when we look to criticize others. Jesus said he will judge us by our words. Lord, give us your heart and open our eyes. We're in Luke 20, 45 through 47. With Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
You can open up your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to go over three verses today, the last three verses in Matthew chapter 20. Now, I'm excited about our studies next week. We are about to get into Matthew 21, and it is where Jesus talks about the end of the world. It's Jesus talking about eschatology, which is the theological word for prophecy and the end of the age. So we're going to be talking about the tribulation period, the rapture of the church, Israel, the nation of Israel, and what God's going to do with them in the last days, what we've seen happen. We're going to slow down a little bit. I want to make sure that we cover it thoroughly. And it is the equivalent of Matthew 24 and Mark 13. And we'll be comparing all of them as we make our way through. Here in Matthew 20, it's the end of the confrontation section. And I'll talk to you about that more once we get into our Bible study. So with that said, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this Bible study. Father, we want to thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is powerful, it is profound, it is meaningful. Sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes it hits us where we live. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be obedient to what's here, not take offense at what your word says, even when it might speak against someone or some group that we feel a connection with. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. That'll give you a little intrigue on this study, won't it? That kind of a prayer. Now, this is the end of chapter 20 in the book of Luke, and this whole chapter has been about confrontation. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders have all lined up to ask Jesus their questions. They gave him three questions, and then Jesus gave them one back, but now Jesus comes unglued on them. He really does challenge them, and he doesn't do it in a light way. He doesn't challenge them, he rebukes them. He rebukes the religious leaders here. They are not challenging him with these questions just to get Jesus gotcha questions. They want to trap him so they can hand him over to the governor so he can be crucified, because they feel that if he is crucified in a shameful way, it will discredit his ministry. And they eventually do get him crucified, not because they trap him in his words, but because they manipulate Pilate, and it was God's plan all along. They do get him crucified, and to some people it works. Some people say, I can't believe Jesus is the Messiah, because the Messiah is not going to die in such a shameful way. But he died in this shameful way for our sins that really should bring shame on us, and Jesus took that upon himself on the cross. And so now he turns and speaks to them, and he speaks to these religious leaders. And this message is a message that is best preached in a pastors and leadership conference, because we're going to talk about pastoral ethics. We're going to talk about ministry ethics, the way we minister to people. And when God gives you an influence with someone and you use the influence the wrong way, you use it for your own personal gain, which is what these religious leaders were doing it. And that's why I say in this study, religious leaders have to hear this. It's not that they have to hear me talk about this. Religious leaders have to hear what Jesus says about this, so it doesn't creep into the church. The sad thing is that there are evangelical Pharisees. There are Christian Pharisees in the world today, when his harshest words were against the Pharisees in the Jewish community. And he calls them out by their group because they are hypocrites. And we will talk a little bit more about that as well. Now, Luke gives us an abbreviated account of this. Matthew 22 is the questions that are asked Jesus in Luke 20. And Matthew 23 is his lengthy rebuke of the religious leaders. This is an abbreviated, and we're going to break it down, but we're going to read a lot from Matthew 23 as we make our way through here to get a little bit more understanding, a better understanding of what he's saying. Now, I do think this applies to you. I say it's best preached at a pastor's conference, pastors and leadership conference, but you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You have been given the keys to the kingdom. God has called you into ministry. A pastor's job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what these sessions we do on Sunday morning and Wednesday night are about, equipping you to go out and do the work. Now, God graciously allows us to be involved in ministry as well, but our job is to equip you. Sometimes people think, well, our job in the church is to support the guy that's up there in the pulpit because he's doing the ministry. That's wrong. My job, and in order to do it effectively, I've got to equip you so that you can go into your world. We're like salt in a salt shaker here, and God shakes us out onto Tucson or around the world, wherever we go, and we are to minister out there. So when you are given an influence in someone's life and you use that influence for your own personal gratification in one way or another, that's wrong. That's what these guys were doing. They were given an influence. They were highly respected by the people. They should have used it to minister to people, but instead they used it to gain stuff for themselves. And so he's going to rebuke them for that. And I just want to let you know, I think there is an application for every one of us here because we are all ministers of Christ. The word minister simply means servant. We are all servants of Christ, and we are all salt to go out and make a difference in this world. So let's read the passage. It's only three verses, and then we're going to break it down. Verse 45, then in the hearing of the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes. So he's rebuking them openly, who desire to go around in long robes, who love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, the best places in the feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. Now, when you read Matthew 23, the longer version of this, you get even a better idea that Jesus is saying these guys are not genuine. There are genuine pastors who can struggle with these things, but these guys have the greater condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There are those that on the outside are clean, talking pastors, leaders, Christians, on the outside they're clean, they look good, but on the inside they're dirty. They need to be cleaned up. And if you're especially in the area of ministry, you want to make sure that you do not have hypocrisy. And I need to talk, before we start getting into this, I just need to talk a little bit about hypocrisy. Because Jesus says in Matthew 23, woe unto you, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. And he says that over and over again, woe unto you. Like this is a problem for you. You better watch out. Woe unto you. You better listen to this because this is bad. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. So hypocrisy is when you tear down someone and you're doing the exact same thing. Or you start talking about someone because they told a lie and you really come down on them, but you yourself with your words are gossiping about someone. That's hypocrisy. You're not doing the exact same thing, but you're using your mouth to sin and you're talking about someone else who's using their mouth to sin. And that can go across the board when we start looking at sins. Jesus said, I will judge you by your words. And when you start talking about someone in their sin, then, hey, I've been talking about something before and suddenly realize that I struggle in this area and try to correct it right away. Because if God's going to judge me by my words, I want to add a few more words at that point to help him judge me. So I'm kind of like, however, we don't really know what's going on inside of his heart and he may really be trying to fight this thing. God, do you get that? You know, trying to give God a little extra information. I also want to say that as we go through this, we may be talking about certain religious groups that you have been blessed by or that you have been brought up in, and you may find this a little offensive. But if you find it offensive, remember it's the word of God, and where does your loyalty lie? Does your loyalty lie with those who you've been blessed by, or does your loyalty lie with God and his word and how we're supposed to live? All right, so the first thing that we want to look at is in the hearing of the people, it says. This is verse 45. Then in the hearing of the people, he openly rebuked them. We often will talk about different groups from the pulpit. I want you guys to be aware of the false teachings that are out there. I don't have time to develop what they are today, but I often talk about progressive Christianity. This is the New Age Christianity, the emergent church, the liberal church, all kind of wrapped up into progressive Christianity. They deny the authority of Scripture. They'll even deny the resurrection. Not every one of them in this group deny the resurrection, but as a large part, they do. There's always different people in each group. So some may say, I give an objection to that. I don't think that's what it is. They'll talk about talking about sin being toxic. So churches are toxic when they bring up sin and repentance and forgiveness of sin, which I think is the furthest thing from toxic. Sin is toxic. That's what's toxic. So I'll talk a lot about progressive Christianity and call this group out by name. I talk a lot about the faith movement, the prosperity movement, that God wants you rich, God never wants you sick. And I call them out by name because the Bible says, if anyone teaches godliness as a means of financial gain, get away from them. I talk a lot about the cults, especially the cults that are the Christian cults that look like they're Christian. The Jehovah Witnesses, some Seventh-day Adventist churches. There are some Seventh-day Adventist churches that go to church on Saturday as a preference. There are some that say it's the only way you're saved. And so if that's how they're making it, then it turns into a cult situation. So I'm not saying as broadly, they're a very diverse group and their churches are all different. And so you don't want to paint with a broad brush when you don't have to. The Mormon church is now, it's their talking points that Christians and Mormons serve the same Jesus. It's their talking points. But the Jesus of the Mormons was created by Elohim and was created as a spirit being that progressed and got to godhood. Elohim was a man on another planet that progressed to godhood so that when he died there, he got this world and he's got a bunch of wives that he has sex with in a physical body and makes spiritual babies that populate the earth. That's not Christianity. And so we need to talk about those things. We talk about religious Christians, those that believe because of rituals that they do, that they are making themselves right with God. We talk about those, and we've been doing a lot of this lately in Galatians, who believe they're saved by some work. Well, you guys believe in faith, but I believe that you have to be baptized to be saved or go to church on Saturday to be saved or be baptized in the name of Jesus instead of the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be saved. You guys aren't really saved unless you're baptized in the way we think that you're going to be saved. And these are all works that are added to the gospel, and there's more. There's more of them. People will come up with all kinds of silly things. You can't smoke and be saved. Now, I'm not saying smoking's good, but I'm not saying you can't make that a condition of salvation. God's like up in heaven, I'm sorry, you loved me, you lived for me, but you smoked. Out. You're going to the smoking section. I wish I'd planned that, but I didn't. I stumbled on it. It was all of a sudden, oh, look at that. There it is. The last couple of groups that I say that we want to call out regularly, and these are all parts of what looks Christian. I'm not just calling out groups like, I'm not talking about Scientology or Christian Science, which just so doesn't look Christian. I'm talking about those groups that look Christian. Motivational speaker Christians, these are guys that don't want to talk bad about anything bad. They're like, oh, I just want to talk about good things. And so, hey, a lot of times our messages don't have anything that you could point at and go, that's wrong. It's all right. And to listen to it is kind of good. And you're like, yeah. You know, I want to talk to you today about enthusiasm. It's good to be enthusiastic. Are you enthusiastic about God? Are you enthusiastic about your life? Are you enthusiastic about your job? You need to leave this place to be enthusiastic. And you're like, you leave and you go, I'm enthusiastic. The problem is what they leave out. The problem is they say, I don't want to talk about sin. I don't want to talk about hell. I don't want to talk about the wrath of God. I don't want to talk about these things. That's the problem. If you went to a doctor and the doctor said, I just want to talk to you about good things. I'm not going to tell you if anything's wrong. We're going to go ahead and run things. I'm going to tell you what's good. I'm not going to tell you what's wrong. You probably should find another doctor. And spiritual, that has to do with your life here. Spiritual things has to do with eternity. And these motivational churches are some of the biggest churches in America. They're motivational speaking churches. They're some of the biggest churches in America because, you know, you want to go to church and feel good. Sometimes you go to church, I make you feel bad. Then there's hyper grace, and that's the last one I'm going to talk about. And we talk a lot about hyper grace. These are people that say it's okay to live in sin. You are in sin and you love Jesus and that's okay. And the Bible says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. A real relationship with Christ is going to transform you. And that transformation is going to bring you out of sin. So I think that these are things that we need to bring up within the church today, because they're out there and you need to equip people to be able to face these particular false teachings. Now let's look at what Jesus said in these particular things. And I just want to remind you again, this is what Jesus said. If you get offended at this, it's because you're offended at what Jesus said. So he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes. The scribes were very respected. I am sure that there were people who were offended at Jesus. The scribes sat in the seat of Moses. In other words, they were given the law to handle. They taught the law. They guarded the teachings of the law to make sure that it was right. And so in Matthew 23 says, when you listen to what the scribes and Pharisees say, and a scribe could be a Pharisee. I think almost all scribes were Pharisees. I haven't been able to confirm that, but I think that's how it was. I know scribes were Pharisees, but not all Pharisees were scribes. So you could be a Pharisee, but then you had another job on top of that, which was a scribe. Now you were a theologian and you sat in the seat of Moses. It wasn't just writing the scriptures down. It was something above it. It was something that now you cared for it. And I'm sure when Jesus rebuked them openly, he said to the crowd, beware of the scribes. There were people offended at what Jesus had said, because these scribes had blessed them. They had seen them. They loved the emotion that came along with Judaism in their day, with people walking around in their long robes and looking very spiritual, very religious. There is an emotion to that kind of religiosity that can make you tie into it. And so he rebukes them openly. And then he says they desire to walk around in long robes. So right away, they dress differently. These are religious leaders that dress differently, and they have a piousness about them that I really do love the Lord. I've got my long robe on. Look at the way that I am. And right now we get into some of the Eastern Orthodox, the Anglican, the Lutheran church to some degree. We get into Catholicism. And I'm not saying that there's no one saved in those churches. In a little while, I'll tell you a story about a Catholic friend of mine and some talks that we, discussions that we have back and forth, and I believe he's a genuine Christian. I believe that because I've grilled him. What do you believe about being saved? And I'll share that with you. But certainly to wear robes that have a distinction of piousness about it everywhere you go is problematic. It's problematic for this reason, because there's not one of us here who is not prone to pride. And so if I were to walk around in some kind of a religious garb and carry myself in a religious way everywhere that I go, people would be looking at me like, ooh, look at him, look at him. And I would grow in pride with that problem, with that. And are people in elevating me to a place I shouldn't be in their lives instead of me pointing to God and elevating God? And so there can be a problem when there can be a problem in wearing a robe to come out and teach. Again, these are the words of Jesus. Listen to what he says in Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. This is in the connection to you love to wear long robes. The problem is the outward appearance is one way, but the inward appearance is another. Jesus said, make the inside clean and the outside will become clean. Can you imagine being invited over to someone's house for dinner and they're washing dishes when you get there and they're washing the outside of cups and they're washing the bottom of plates. And then they're like, all right, grab a plate, go ahead and get some food. And you're like, I'm fasting. Didn't I tell you? I'm not going to be able to join in. So Jesus says, look, the inside's a mess and you walk around piously. Now, this is not only the Catholic Church. There's been some stuff in the Baptist Southern Convention Church. There's been some stuff in other churches where there have been molestations that have happened. There have been taking advantage of women sexually within churches and large denominations, and that has happened in the Catholic Church. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Okay, this has happened, which means that there are these priests that walk around in their long robes and they look good, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. They are taking advantage of children. And Jesus said, if you hurt one of these children, it would be better for you if a millstone were tied around your neck and you would be cast into the sea. Doesn't matter that you belong to this religious organization. It's not going to give them any protection. What matters is what goes on inside of that particular individual. And that's the problem. And the same thing can be true with a Calvary Chapel pastor or a Baptist pastor or anyone else that sees themselves as being pious. And here's what I've discovered. I'm just going to tell you guys what I've discovered is that people that are involved in things they shouldn't be involved in kind of go over the top when it comes to acting religious. The people that are like, hello, brother. Oh, I just love the Lord. And oh, it's so good to see you. And I just love you so much. And they just kind of play it up. It's just a little over the top. And then you find out they're involved in something that they shouldn't have been involved in. And you're like, well, that was all a game. And see, when you're play acting, when you're acting, it's easy to go over the top. Like William Shatner in Star Trek. There's a lot of over the top acting there. And when Christians are involved in things they shouldn't be, they're trying to cover their sin with their piousness, and it's over the top. And you just got to be careful that you're not playing a game. You want the inside of the cup right, and who cares whether or not you look pious on the outside? It also says in Luke 23:5, but all their works they do to be seen by men. Now you're wearing some kind of an outfit. You're doing what you do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Again, the borders of their garments are big. These were boxes that held scriptures. The Old Testament said, put God's word on your mind and in your hands. I think God meant in your mind, think scripture and live scripture. Do scripture with your, do the law with your hands, do the law with your mind. So they put boxes on their heads with scriptures in it and boxes on their hands with scriptures in it. Then they made them bigger because I got a big box on my head. Look how spiritual I am. You got that little bitty box? I'm so much more spiritual than you. The next thing that he says is you love greetings in the marketplace. You go around in long robes and you love greetings in the marketplace. Love to have people recognize them and give them greetings. Listen to what it says in Matthew 23, 6 through 12. This is the longer section on it. They love the best places and feasts, the best seats in synagogues, greetings in marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And you all are brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teacher, for one is your teacher, who is Christ. But he who is greatest among you should be a servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I'm a teacher. That's what I do for a living. I'm a pastor teacher. Some of you call me Pastor Robert. When people say, what should I call you? I say, call me Robert. I don't have to be called pastor. I certainly don't want to be called reverend, but I'm a teacher. And it's not denying that you're a teacher. There's rabbis. Don't deny that they're rabbis. It's that they loved people in the market saying, Rabbi, Rabbi. They could turn around and go, yes, I am the rabbi. Like people will say, you will call me pastor such and such. That's a problem.
We are so glad you joined us for the study of God's Word. We hope that God is speaking to your heart and that you are responding to His call for a closer, personal relationship with you. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. We'd love for you to join us in person at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturday nights at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus south of Palo Verde and I-10 meets Sunday mornings at 8:20 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can watch our services online at live.calvarytucson.com. And also on our Facebook page, YouTube channel, Roku, or Apple TV. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram @Calvary Tucson or Facebook @Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.